Jai Balaam Muslim people, brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the world. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. We seek him for guidance. We seek him for forgiveness for our faults, our sins, our transgressions. We seek him for assistance for whatever we are to accomplish. And we seek his pleasure above our own pleasure. He is the creator of everything. There is nothing like unto him. He has no equal. He has no partners in the rule of his creation. He is one alone, and he has missioned messengers to be guides, leaders for humanity. And we thank Allah that we are blessed to be living in this time, the time of the Quran, the time of the last prophet Muhammad, and the Quran, the universal message to all people who will accept the guidance. So dear beloved people, we are happy to be here, and we hope that our meeting will always benefit us in the way that Allah would be pleased with. Whatever we do, we hope that it is what pleases Allah. And we hope that what we do always when we come together, we'll do that, will be that that serves the best interest, the best concern of all the people. Dear beloved Muslims, this faith that we have is the means for us making improvements on our personal life, improvements in our family life, improvement in the life of society. This religion that we have is not an ordinary religion. This religion we have is an extraordinary religion, and we shouldn't underestimate the worth and power of this religion. We shouldn't take this religion to be just another religion. It is not just another religion. This religion is the answer to all human needs. It is the answer to all human problems. This religion is the supreme light for man. In other words, this religion does not take a second place to anything. Whether it's in the spiritual realm or in what we call the worldly realm, the material realm, this religion does not take second place to anything. And I am one that feel the need for this religion. I have not myself suffered much in my life, but I identify with people who have suffered much in their lives. I identify with my father, my mother, my grandfather, my grandmother. I identify with my ancestors, and I identify with the common people on this earth who suffer many injustices, who are deprived of clear guidance and right understanding, who are slaves, not because there's a physical slave master standing over them, but because they haven't been given an opportunity to think as Allah intended for them to think. And I, as a Muslim, I feel the need for this religion. And I feel appreciative to Allah for revealing this religion to the universal Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him and on the righteous. I feel very appreciative. And I am so confident that this religion is the
sure winner for the common man and for the special man, if there's any such thing as a special man. This religion is a sure winner for the common man and for the special man, if he would like to think of himself as being special. And being confident, being so convinced of this, make me do this without any hesitation, without any reservation. I don't think of other things. When I come before people to tell them about this religion, I don't consider how what I'm doing is going to affect something else. I don't care how it affects anything else. I don't have any family concerns on my mind when I'm doing this religion. You know, the family, a lot of times, if we really think about our immediate concerns, the family concerns will pull us away from a bigger job or from a bigger interest, you see? And I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to think about, you know, maybe the wife would have been happier today if we had went to the ball game. Maybe the children would have been happier today if I had taken them to the ball game. Not that my wife would be interested in anything like that. My wife, she wants to be here. I'm blessed by Allah to have a wife that puts first things first, too. You see? Yes, but I don't think about anything like that, you know? And I know we got a lot of people that's got a lot of foolishness on their minds, and a lot of people that's got a lot of unnecessary burden on them, and they're just looking for somebody else to put some of that burden on. And they don't care who it is, they just want to drop some of that burden on somebody else, you know? Well, I understand that, and a lot of them are not here today because they can't drop burden on me when I come here. If they thought they could drop burden on me, they would be here. Wouldn't be no room for this. The place would be filled up. They'd be all outside, all around the building because they're just looking for somebody to drop some burden on. You know, well, if I would think about that, I'm not going to that place. Those people just looking for somebody to drop some burden on. No, that doesn't stop me. We have a job to do. And if we appreciate this religion, this job of religion is first. Religion for us is money. Religion for us, good health. Religion for us is stable family. Religion for us is stable community. Religion for us is economic progress. Religion for us is political progress. Religion for us is community strength. Religion for us is leadership in the world. This religion offers us all of that and much more. So I don't feel that any way humble if I would stand before the Congress of the United States and preach this religion. I wouldn't feel small. Well, these great men that representatives of the people, political, great political figures, what can I say to impress them? I can say one or two verses from the Quran, and if they got any sense at all, if they're worth their medals that they wear, I will impress them. But I don't worry about it. And that's what the little people, I'm little like you, we all little people. That's what the little people have to understand. That Allah has made us big people. Once you pick up this word, this Quran, and you begin to preach it and live it and digest it for yourself and preach it to others, once you are in this job, you're not little anymore, you're big. And you shouldn't think of yourself as being small, you're big. We couldn't possibly be bigger in any other concern. If we would go collect ourselves together as we are here, collect ourselves together to do real estate business, or agriculture, or anything, banking, that wouldn't be nothing compared with this mission here, the mission of Al-Islam. Because this religion has proved itself in the history of the Muslims. It has proved itself to be a producer, of business. Learning, institutions of learning, scientific development, government, political progress, scientific progress. This religion has proven to be the instrument for that. History bears that out. Do you know when Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, do you know when he began preaching, he preached to people like us? He didn't preach to people who were educators, great learned men and women. He didn't preach to people who were highly advanced, culturally speaking. He didn't come to great civilization. He came to what they call Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah means ignorant, undeveloped, uncultured, uncivilized people. Most of them were existing in small bands, small clan-like groups, and their state of society compares with the hoodlum gang societies of our big populated centers today. The Panther organization was much more sophisticated than the Arabs were when Prophet Muhammad came to them. They weren't that cult. They weren't cultured minded and political minded in that sense. If we want to describe those people how they were in that day, we have to look at the disciples in Chicago West Side, South Side. We have to look at the Blackstone Rangers, Chicago South Side. We have to look at those gang organizations, those hoodlum organizations, to see what the people look like that Prophet Muhammad came to preach to. And even they were much worse off because they didn't have the level of education that these gangs have. They didn't have the level of sophistication that these gangs have. They weren't literate, as literate as these gangs are. They weren't as moral, most of them weren't even as moral as these gangs are. They were what you call heathen, idol worshippers. They were not only hoodlums, they were primitive in their minds. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he preached exactly what we have here today. He didn't come with something different. He came with exactly what we have here today. Now, if we had that kind of mentality in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and this non-productive mind is causing us all the hell that we are having in our lives, then why don't we use the same instrument that was used before to correct the situation? Why don't we have faith in a proven instrument? Don't tell me medicine doesn't work and you didn't take it. Medicine can't work unless you take it. So don't tell me medicine doesn't work and you didn't even take it. So we say, oh, brother, ma'am, we need money. I say, here is the book that will give you some money. It's a prescription for getting you some money. And you don't have any money? How long you had this book? You had this book a long time and you still don't have no money? You're not using this book. So you can't say the medicine is not working when the sick man is not taking it. We have to know ourselves. We have to see ourselves. A lot of us are knocked out and we think we are on our feet. Yeah, we are out of it. We are unconscious. And we think we are conscious. See, any time you don't see reality in your situation, you are like a man knocked out. And any time people get up every day and do the same thing that is not productive, while people are convincing them that here is something that is productive, and they walk by that thing that is productive and pick up the same old habit every day that has proven itself to be non-productive, they ain't conscious, they've been knocked out. They can't be conscious. They're knocked out. Well, dear beloved brothers and sisters, it's time for me to say, El Fatiha, and go home. That's all I need to tell you. You have the answer. It's in the Quran. If you're not taking the medicine, your sickness is your own fault. Oh, would you like me to stay here longer? That's enough. Oh, well, I'll stay a little longer. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. You know, some of us carry the burden of the past on our backs all the time. Now, you know, some things of the past we need to keep with us. But there are some things of the past that by keeping them with you as a burden, it doesn't help you at all. And many of us, you're used to seeing the captain come from Chicago. And whenever the captain comes from Chicago, that means somebody's head gonna roll. So we come to see somebody get done in. And don't let the chief minister somebody come in from Chicago. We just know we're gonna see somebody get a good whipping, you know. We in for a good one. Gonna witness a good killing. Our minds have to be in accord in order for us to communicate. I know you wake up sometime in the house and you speak to a member in the household and you find yourself unable to communicate. What's wrong? I know it ain't crazy. And I know I'm speaking plain English. How come I can't communicate? Because some concern is dominating his mind to the point that he can't be reached unless you reach him through that concern that's dominating his mind. Now, the concern that should be dominating our mind is the pleasure of Allah. But if that concern is not dominating our mind, when the imam get up here and start speaking, he may speak the stone wall. He's obligated as the imam to have that as his number one concern, the pleasure of Allah. But some of the other people might want to see the brother corrected, who insulted the brother, the other brother, 1978, 6:30 p.m. in that corner of the masjid. And we remember every little detail. It was before they painted the wall. We can't communicate. Allah is the biggest of all. And this is his religion that he prescribed for us, not for us as Negroes, or Africans, or Blacks, or Bilalians. He prescribed this for us as human beings. Do you know what that means? He prescribed this religion
for China. He prescribed this religion for Russia, for Africa, for Asia, for North and South America, for all the islands, for every human habitation there is, he prescribed this religion for them. Do you know what that means? That means that this is a religion bigger than you, bigger than me, bigger than our race, bigger than our nation. It's bigger than the United States of America. This religion is bigger than the whole humanity. Yes. That's what you have to understand. Now, doesn't this religion demand, if you understand that, doesn't it demand that you come before it with an intelligent posture? Shouldn't you try to be in your best for condition when you come to this religion? It demands you to be on your best or in your best. It demands the respect from you that you give the highest authority. This religion demands more respect than the mayor would get if he came in, or the governor would get if he came in. Or the chief of the defense department, if he came in, he shouldn't get more respect than this religion gets. Because his interest is small when seen in the light of this interest. And he's just a soldier with defense knowledge and defense skills. This religion made soldiers. This religion passed on information to him. He uses a lot of the precious wisdom that this book gave him. This book made defense departments before America was discovered. Oh, do you respect the doctor, the MD? This religion made many, many hundreds and hundreds of MDs before America was discovered. This book brought science back on earth for the people so they could have scientific life, scientific government, scientific schools. That's what this religion did. And I'm not speaking from the Muslim point of view only. I'm speaking from a Western man's point of view also. Western man says this. You can get a book by a non-Muslim, a Western, white, or whatever. You can get a book by him. He'll say the same thing. He's saying the same thing I'm saying to you now. They say, do you know how much of the influences of this religion is in your language? We talk about the English language. Do you know how much influence of this religion is in your language? If you knew, you'd be surprised. Dear beloved people, first you have to see the value of something before you can appreciate it. And if you don't appreciate something, you're not going to use it. You don't use what you don't appreciate. You take up and use what you think will get you some result. And if you feel that this religion is not going to get you some result, you're not going to take it up and use it. But if you value this religion, if you see the value of it, and you feel it'll get you results, you will take it up and use it. We have to come out of the Western mind, Western religious people mind. Western religious habit is to come and listen to a minister so they will feel good in their heart. They ain't looking for nothing for their hands. They ain't looking for nothing to make their hands more skillful or to make their tongue more skillful, more scientific. No, they're not looking for anything to make their brain more productive. They're looking for something to make their heart rest, to make their heart feel good. Tell me Allah loves me. I'm looking for psychiatrist, mister. Tell me Allah loves me. That's what we're saying when we want to hear God loves me. We are saying that we need a psychiatrist. Certainly.
If I had to hear God love me, I'm here, I have this body, I have this intelligence, I have this command over my physical makeup, I'm able to think and maneuver better than a dog, better than any other creature on earth. I look at the world and I see great buildings build up. I see great advances that human beings have made, all kinds of scientific advances, industrial advancements, technology and everything. And I see that it's done by people like me, creatures like me. Dogs didn't do that. Horse didn't do that. A human being like me did that. Now what I have to tell somebody to tell me God loves me for? The dogs should say, what the hell they, what's wrong with those crazy creatures? They look what God did to us. And they're asking God to throw somebody to tell them God loved them. And we can't do what they're doing. God didn't give us that ability. If anything, we should be asking God. God, will you tell the dogs you love them, please? Please, God. God, come on now, right now. Tell the dogs you love them, God. And these creatures that you gave the world to and they took it over, they treat us pretty bad sometimes. It ain't nothing we can do about it. You didn't give us equal ability to challenge them. They can lock us up. They can kill us all. They can do whatever they want. They make little pets of us. They can do whatever they want to with us, God. Say, well, God, I think you ought to tell the dogs you love them because all of us are deciding today to commit suicide. Yeah, it should be law creatures that should be asking. God, love me. Tell God, love. Tell me, God loves me. You know who made you like that? The industrialists of this world who cares nothing about human beings. Now, I know there is an exception. There are some industrialists who care something about human beings. But material interest in this world is blind, humanly blind. And if they have a problem for them, they'll solve that problem, and they don't care whether they hurt the human nature and the human dignity or not. They're going to solve that immediate problem for them. And if you don't behave in your mind, if you don't behave rationally or intellectually like they think a man and a woman should behave, they write you off. They say, well, look, they're in human bodies, but we are not to regard them as human beings. And now you get a program for these people in this city that is similar to that one we got for the rat that's hurting our interest in that fossil. And you know what we're doing for those rats, don't you, George? So, yes, sir, we know the program. Traps and rat poison and yes. Okay, will you give some traps and some rat poison for these rats that's giving us a problem in this area? And they will get something to trap you, to catch you, to hold you, to kill you, to poison you, to make you sleep, or to drive you out of the community. They will get something to handle you so they won't be bothered with that problem. Because the wheels of industry must move on. All right? Okay. That's the situation. Now, God loves you. Allah loves you. If he didn't love you, why would he pick a man like Prophet Muhammad? A man that didn't want any wealth. Prophet Muhammad wasn't a lover of wealth. A man that didn't want any praise. Prophet Muhammad didn't want praise from people. He refused wealth. He refused praise. And he picked a man like that who really could have been satisfied in heaven away from all this stuff. But he picked a man like that and then burdened that man with your problem. Isn't that what he did with Prophet Muhammad? Not you today, you 1,400 years ago. You haven't changed, you're still the same people. He burned that man with your problem and missioned him to be a leader for all the people. And that man had to suffer abuse. He had to suffer all kinds of ugly criticism. People stoned him for nothing but that he was trying to bring them sense and righteousness. Good sense and righteousness. But they were so ignorant, they were so inhuman, that they turned on that good man that was coming for them, and for their sake, turned on that man and threw stones at him, so many stones until his skin was broken up, broken in places, and blood ran down into his slippers. And as he was walking in the street, they report in history that they could hear the sound of blood in his slippers as he was walking from Tyre. So they say, oh, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Well, that's another one. That's another one. That's another man. Died. For what? He didn't want money? We don't believe they killed him or crucified him, but we know what they say. All right? There's another man then. If you accept that, there's another man. Didn't want rain, didn't want money, didn't want fire. All he wanted to do was to serve God and his creature, so that God's will for his creature, which is dignity. He wants his creature to live in dignity. And many of us don't know this. Allah says in the Quran that he created everything with a dignity. Everything that he has created, he has given it a dignity. But a lot of you really need to understand this. Anytime you neglect your brain, anytime you neglect your morals, you're neglecting something that has great dignity. Anytime you mistreat property, you're mistreating something that has dignity. Nothing Allah has created is without dignity. Everything has dignity. And he has given the greatest dignity to his human creature. We have the highest dignity in the created world. Praise be to Allah. I don't know what we're waiting for. Only thing I can say is that we either knocked out, are we asleep or drunk or something? I don't know what we're waiting for. Sense comes so plainly. Intelligent guidance comes so clear and so plainly. And we are not excited. We are not motivated. We go back like we heard nothing. Return to the same old degrading ways as though we didn't hear anything. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You who do that, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you didn't hear this religion, it would be another story. But hearing good teaching, and not only in this masjid, there are churches. I hear some of these preachers. Some of these preachers are talking sense to their congregation. And they have the same problem. Their congregation listen to them and walk out and go back to the same old destructive habits. Now what are you going to do with a people like that? I know what we should do. We should organize us a police force. And give them all a big heavy strap and say, look, something has happened in the West. All people that look old ain't old. You can't guess their ages by the way they look physically. Now, anybody that responds like a child, put this belt on him if he doesn't straighten up. That's right. Yeah, that's what we need. But we can't do it because we live in a civilized society with an established government, so we can't just take the law in our hands. But believe me, the practical, sensible thing to do would just be to ask you, say, now, how many are ready to act on good sense? And anybody that give us some crazy lip, just snatch his butt right up here and crucify him right there on that rug and say, who's next? When your brain ain't functioning, your butt is functioning. And if you can't reach him through the brain, reach him through the butt. You know, we are tired of being a whole big majority ethnic group, the largest minority in America. a population bigger than many nations, with more wealth coming through our hands than most of the third world ever sees. We're tired of staying on the bottom with all these opportunities just because people are too lazy, too defiant, too childish, too petty to act on good sense. That's right, we're tired of that. I'm ready to quit this job or turn out to be a wild man. I'm ready to beat some ass or quit this job. That's right. Fine. And believe me, I'm not driving you. I'm speaking from my heart. I don't see where it makes any sense. We got better things to do. I can concentrate on my own family. I don't have to be worried with all you crazy niggas. That's right. And don't look at me and judge me, say he doesn't look like a holy man to me. Hell, I ain't no holy man. I never told you that. He doesn't sound like a prophet. Didn't I tell you I ain't no prophet? I'm one of you that think we ought to act on the good sense that the prophet brought. Pitiful. Oh, we don't have no job. You don't have any job. What do you mean you don't have any job? It's just a job taking care of myself. That's a job. All of us got jobs. I can't do nothing. I don't have no job. You let the industrialist put you out of business. And I mean out of human business. Just because he ain't got a job for you where you can make $100 or $200, $300 a week, you give up everything. I ain't got no job. So you sit down. You ain't got no more interest because the industrialist ain't got no job for you. You crazy. And you crazy because the industrialist have made you crazy. Why I say the industrialist? Because this world belongs to the industrialist. What you see out in the street, when you leave this environment and go out there on those streets, you're going to see what the industrialist created. And whatever images or messages that brings to your mind, that's the industrialist speaking into your head. Even intentionally or unintentionally. I don't think they do all this intentionally. I think they make a big mess, and then when they look at it, they wish they had done it differently. But it's there, and they did it. When you pick up a book that cater to your weaknesses off a library shelf or from the magazine stand, you're reading what the industrialist has approved and has supported. It couldn't even be printed without the industrialist. All right? So, all right, when you look at a movie, you're looking at what the movie industry and the industrialist. The industrialist has his influence into the movie industry. You're looking at what they like for people to see. And messages are reaching your mind from the design that they made. All right? And you're just feeding on all that and buying all that. Okay, so we sit here with you in this little room. We're in this little room here, and we're trying to show you that you should have command over your own self. That you should have the command over the way you think. You just shouldn't think automatically. Human being ain't no automatic creature. The machine works automatically. The human being is supposed to work consciously. So you're not even supposed to think in a pattern without questioning the pattern in which you are thinking. That's right. All right. You're supposed to have responsibility for yourself. Responsibility for the way you feel, Don't you know you ain't supposed to feel this anyway? You're supposed to judge the way you feel? Tell me where and what in what class of it, where is your identity? Is your identity in feeling? Let's wait till the industrialist play toy pass by. That's all it is, a play toy. And the boys driving it, they're boys with their play toys. And most of them, they don't rush to pick up the sick or the injured. They want to make the trip longer because they want to hear that noise longer. They get there, the person is dead. Now, we know we have the exception. I'm talking about the majority in this world. Majority of this world finished. As far as intelligence, human intelligence is concerned, they're finished. Majority of people on this earth finished. Our job is to talk to children and bad, undisciplined children and try to wake them up so they can see that they're adults and get them to accept adult responsibility again. Majority of the people on this earth ain't adults no more. Nothing but a world population of little children. That's right. And all you have to do, if you're a sensible person, if you're an intelligent, adult-minded person, just turn on TV and look at what you see on that television. Go to the movie and see what they're entertaining you with. And your son try to do what they saw him do on the movie. He jumps over backwards and falls on a chair and breaks his spine. Because he saw a nut on television or in the movie. Just turn over. He wasn't concerned. He didn't look like he had to tell how he felt or nothing. He just jumped over and fell, and he fell on his spine. And he got up. So your son, he jumps over and turns 3 flips in this air and fall on his spine, and he doesn't get up. This is real. Believe me, there are children that are injuring themselves, that are crippling themselves for life, doing what they see in the movies and on TV. Crazy world. Grown up dancing like a bunch of drunk, crazy people. You look at them dancing, what are you doing? All day long. The country is economically almost at a standstill. But you look at television and you think that these people are taken care of by another planet. And they don't have nothing to do but just party. That's the image you get off the screen. That these people, that they're from another planet taking care of them, they are party people. Because that's what they show you on TV. Most of what you see on TV is people partying. Or people just playing. Games. Right? Yeah, you know. I was looking at television the other day, and they showed this girl, that woman, and said, seeking you identify these men. 3 men that she had been talking to. And after she talked with them, they took the men out of sight. And they brought the men back, 3 men. They now speak of you identify these men. They had round holes, 3 round holes, cut in the panel. They had each of these men stick their naked rump in these round holes. And then this woman had to identify them by their naked rump that she hadn't seen. He guessed one of them correctly. The other 2 she missed. For missing, she was penalized. The man was penalized and she was penalized. Whenever he did something, he was penalized. Whenever she missed, she was penalized. The penalty is to take off some of your clothes. Finally, she was penalized. She had to take off all of her clothes except the chastity belt. That's entertainment for American adults. Seeking you identify naked booty of a person you just saw a few minutes ago. Now, well, how is that affecting your child's mind? You might say, oh, we can handle that, Brother Imam. That's not bad. We who? We can handle that. Oh, that man, there's nothing but a little fun. Hell, what do you want to do? Put life in a straitjacket or something? What kind of Imam is this? He's one of these old puritanical people. Won't life, want America to be in a straitjacket? I sure do until you can get your mind back. Well, we can handle it. We who can handle that? How many grown-ups can handle that? I admit, some grown-ups can handle that. They will look at that, and it's not going to influence them to come out of their intelligent form. They're going to stay in their intelligent form. They can look at that, and they can even laugh at it. They can accept it as a piece of entertainment and still stay in their intelligent form. But the majority of the people are not that together intellectually. So even the majority of the adults are going to be influenced into a kind of regressive human behavior. Regressive behavior. They're going to go downgrade. Their intelligence is going to be degraded, going to be taken downgrade. Their behavior is going to go downgrade.